Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's For Women. You are not 9 to 5 and neither are we. Conveniently open online 365 days per year, 24 hours per day. Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's For Women. You are not 9 to 5 and neither are we. Conveniently open online 365 days per year, 24 hours per day.
Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1.
087-032-32-32 is the WhatsApp number. Now, what are we? It's 6 days. Is it 6 days until we discover who is going to be possibly the winner? Maybe we don't know in 6 days of an eon-defining election campaign in the United States of Election, as I'm calling it. We'll either have the first female president in American history or the first president to win a non-consecutive second term since Grover Cleveland in 1892. This is how hard I've been nerding on this. He was the 22nd and 24th president. But it's now, of course, Harris versus Trump. One candidate who struggles with full sentences, the other candidate facing sentencing for a felony conviction. Normal times. Our man who's been looking at the election for some time, Lorcan Nine, is with us. Good morning, Lorcan.
Morning.
My God, the last time we were chatting, they were the glory days for Kamala Harris, weren't they? It's late August. And you were saying her campaign was superb at that moment.
Well, and it was. I mean, the convention speech, the whole, I suppose, vibe around the convention was incredibly well done. And I suppose that's borne out by the data. She increased the enthusiasm that people had for her by 22 points from where it was from Biden. Biden was 3.5 points down the swing states. Now that's even. She increased her favourability rating from the kind of the mid-30s to the mid-40s, which is unheard of in a polarised environment. So, I mean, she's still getting the benefit of that time. The debate was also very, very effective. She was probably the only one to actually beat Donald Trump in a debate. If you think of all the Republicans that he wiped the floor with,
he wiped the floor with Clinton.
Do you think?
I think he did. I think the pets thing, you know, they're eating the dogs, they're eating the cats. Most memorable line of the whole campaign. And that's a campaign that includes an assassination attempt, you know, and she just has perfectly timed laughter to it. Reacting like the entire world did.
And yet nobody else managed to force moments like that from him. Nobody else managed to win a debate against him. I don't think you can just, you know, say everything bad and everything good is on Trump. But then, look, since then, I think Donald Trump has rediscovered what made Donald Trump a bit. He has this capacity to cut through media noise and get in front of people who don't pay attention to politics. And he started to do that again very, very well. And be it with the McDonald's stunt and be it with some of the vulgar language he's using even. I mean, you might not like it, but it does get amplified. It works and it plays for the audience he needs.
Yeah, I've been saying here, much to the annoyance of Kamala Harris supporters, or more to do with, I don't think she has supporters. I think there's an anti-Trump people who kind of go, well, that's the only person, it's the life raft we need. That his campaign is very good because, and this is not a moral judgment, because it's very clear what he stands for, what he plans to do. Whereas we don't really know what she would do other than not be Donald Trump and not be Joe Biden, which she keeps saying over and over again.
Well, yeah, he is very, very clear. Mass deportation is a policy, very, very clear on that. Very, very clear on tariffs. You talked about the 1890s. He's obsessed with the 1890s as well, Oliver. I mean, that's Grover Cleveland times is tariff policy with McKinley.
That's a good
and
point,
he keeps
yes.
going on about it. He's very, very into the tariff idea. But he's very, very clear on that and he's very, very clear on the tax code. So, like, his policy agenda this time is very, very clear. Nobody should be surprised what he does. And he's very clear on foreign policy as well. Yeah. That's your opinion on her in terms of the policy agenda, and you're not alone in that opinion. A lot of people would say it's not overly clear. She has started to run in the last couple of weeks on I am not Donald Trump, he is scary, I will get stuff done.
Yeah.
I think you know as much about her policies as you knew about Joe Biden's, as you knew about Hillary Clinton's, as you knew about Obama's, as you knew about Trump in 2016. I mean, you've an idea what she wants to do around health insurance, you've an idea what she wants to do around giving deposits for houses. You kind of know her foreign policy. I would disagree with her foreign policy in the Middle East massively, but you know what it is. So I'm not sure what else people want to know that they don't know.
Well, I suppose if the Biden thing was unclear, I mean, he didn't run on a promise to open the borders, which is what he ultimately does in early 2021. But he did run on the big stimulus package, which he then unveiled in 2021 and is now blamed for the inflation when you read the Republican editorials, Wall Street Journal and so on. Like he did have very clear things he was going to do because, of course, it was COVID and so on. And then she's not very specific about anything.
She's going to give $25,000 to everybody for a deposit on a house. She's going to increase Medicare so it includes home carers. You know, so she does have policy initiatives to it. I think they both ultimately ended up in the same place, which was, I think the best motivator here is that there are 50 2 to 53% of the public who don't like Donald Trump. We need them to turn out. So let's start talking about how dangerous Donald Trump is. Whether that's ultimately the right strategy,
do you
I'm
think
unsure.
That's working? Because her campaign, when it was going well, was all about joy and everything's going to be great. Opportunity of economy, you know, total waffle. And brilliant speeches at the DNC from the Obamas, who I think keep exposing how weak Kamala Harris is because they're just so classy and so brilliant. And enigmatic, you know, both of the Obamas. And then you've got Kamala going, oh, that's not kind of their best choice. But it was kind of, it was a glory moment for her. And she wasn't doing interviews. And you were saying that was a good tactic at the time. It was like, don't make a mistake. And it's like once she started, she couldn't keep that going for too long. And once she started doing interviews in places like Fox and so on and saying the same thing, which was not really answering any of the questions, that's when her campaign has now stuttered, hasn't it? And she's focused on he's a fascist. Is that going to work?
Look, we're not going to know if it's going to work until Tuesday, Oliver. I think the logic of the fascist approach and doubling down on that is that they have targeted Republican-leaning women who have voted for Trump previously, who like Trump's policies, but since January 6th and since this slightly new coarser version of Trump really don't like Trump. So it's what's been called by Liz Cheney, the Republican who's canvassing with Kamala Harris, is calling them the shy Kamala Harris voters, the ones who won't tell people that they're voting for Kamala Harris, but that will ultimately do it. I think this messaging at the moment is targeted purely at them. So it's not for the wider public.
Yeah.
I think they're just trying to get them to the polls and get them when they get there, couple of percentage of them to tip over her side, and that will be enough.
That's the secret vote you're talking about. That's the campaign. Liz Cheney was a Republican, of course, and she's telling women, you can go around with your Trump stickers and your lawn signs, but it's a secret ballot.
It's fascinating. A bit bleak, but fascinating.
It is. There's a clip here, and it's a Julia Roberts ad for Kamala Harris's campaign, and it's on that very subject.
Your turn, honey.
In the one place in America where women still have a right to choose, you can vote any way you want, and no one will ever know.
Did you make the right choice?
Sure did, honey.
Remember, what happens in the booth stays in the booth. Vote Harris Walz.
That's a real ad, by the way, that's despite the comedy value.
Yeah, I mean,
that's a Republican wife telling her husband, oh, I sure did vote for
Trump. Yeah, yeah. And it's really, and that's been the messaging from Liz Cheney as well. You don't have to tell your husband who you voted for. So it's that people who are maybe surrounded by the MAGA world, like the real Trump world, but they themselves don't like it. You know, classically, you would have thought that the shy voters were the shy Donald Trump voters. You know, that's what people thought was the issues with the polling, etc. But now the analysis might be that there might be some shy Harris voters out there. And I think the campaign is very, very actively targeting those. I think they think they've banked enough Democratic enthusiasm that they'll get their turnout, and now they're looking at around the edges, is there anybody we can persuade to come over? That, you know, I mean, that's a risky calculation to bank on your turnout, but I think that's what they're doing.
What do you think of his campaign overall, Trump's campaign?
Incredibly boring up until recently, given that there was an assassination attempt and given that everybody agrees with him on the issues, it was still quite boring. In the last couple of weeks, he has kicked into gear. The McDonald's thing, I mean, it was a stunt, but I mean, it was a very, very good, effective stunt. No other politician could have pulled it off. He managed to pull it off. I felt in the last couple of days, he started getting a bit rattled. The dominant talk was all about, I'm not a fascist, you're the fascist, I'm not a fascist. He was getting a bit rattled, getting a bit off message. Joe Biden, though, came to the rescue last night when as Kamala Harris was giving her final message, she was saying, I am the unity candidate. If you're a Republican, I'll still fight for you. There's a place for you in our party. Unity, unity, unity. And at the same time, Joe Biden goes on to a Zoom call and says,
and he's on the Zoom call because of the Puerto Rican thing, which dominated Trump's coverage.
Which really threw them off message. Yeah. The idea of calling Puerto Rico, you know, an island of garbage.
It was a comedian, not Trump. Actually, unusually, the Trump campaign came out and distanced themselves from that comment.
Which they never backed down. And so it shows how rattled they were because they
half
need
a million
Puerto Rican
Puerto Ricans in Pennsylvania.
I mean, you know, a small percentage of those might have gone to Trump going the other way. But then Joe Biden came out, just in case the Democrats are going to get momentum, and came out and said, the only garbage I see floating out there is his supporters. Now, he says that there is a little apostrophe there before the S, and that what he meant was the comedian. But it's obviously been taken up by the Republicans.
I think the whole clip is worth playing again, because the comedy value of him losing his train of thought, halfway through, I'm turning into Biden myself, is worth remembering of why the Democrats are in this mess to begin with. And this is what he does a week before the election.
And just the other day, a speaker at his rally called Puerto Rico a floating island of garbage. Well, let me tell you something. I don't know the Puerto Rican that I know, or Puerto Rico where I'm in my home state of Delaware. They're good, decent, honorable people. The only garbage I see floating out there is his supporters. His demonization is seen as unconscionable, and it's un-American. It's totally contrary to everything we've done, everything we've been.
And that is the big story on Fox News right now on their website. It's the top story. Trump supporters are garbage.
Of course it is. I mean, how do you even get close to making that mistake? I mean, it's an issue for a couple of reasons. It obviously reminds people of the deplorables comment from Hillary Clinton 2016, which was a much worse comment, but it does remind them of it. Secondly, at the moment, this is a campaign. The fight is for airspace. It's to fight for the narrative. They've lost the narrative now. They had the momentum. They've lost it. It's now all going to be about this. Maybe it shouldn't be, but we all know what US
politics
is like.
The Puerto Ricans gaffe is off.
It's off the agenda. Big mistake. Website. And also, I mean, it reminds people of Joe Biden. And Kamala Harris does not want people reminded of Joe Biden at the moment. You know, like,
because I think she should have trashed him ages ago. Because that's the thing, she's afraid to say anything that she's going to do differently from him or notice when he was declined. I mean, like, at the risk of offending him, there are much bigger things.
Yeah, look, it's obviously a hard line to thread, but she's going to have to this time. She's going to have to say, look, he misspoke, but he shouldn't even been close to it. We have to reach out. We need a new politics. Joe Biden is part of the old politics. We need to reach out to the new one. It was a big mistake, and there's obviously much more important things going on in this election than, you know, Joe Biden misspeaking, but it's badly timed, a bad mistake.
You never know in the last couple of days, do you? Lorcan and I will chat again, see where this ends up. Back after the break with Nick Harkaway.
Email oliver@rte.ie.